to 1 Kings chapter... Oh, man, I tell you what. First Kings. First Kings chapter 19. We're going to look again, as I said, the life and miracles of Elisha. This would be lesson number one. This is his calling. And Elijah, the prophet before Elisha, that we'll kind of just touch with him just a little bit this evening, and we'll dab fully in Elisha as he turns, hands over the mantle, as it were, to him. Elisha is at Horeb. Elijah is at Horeb in 1 Kings 19, and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God. In verse 14 of 1 Kings 19, he's saying, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nishai shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Merlo, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And God says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So Elijah departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then will I follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee. In other words, he gave his approval, go back and take care of the business. And so Elisha went back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So that's his calling. Now we'll go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's just look at verses 1 through 8 and we'll stop. It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. They went together. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, and Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho together. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, answered them, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So this is the third time. He says, I'm going. He says, no, I'm going with you, side by side. I'm not going to leave your side. And they went, the two on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they there were divided, the waters of Jordan, thither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Let's just keep reading for a little bit here. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And the older prophet said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So basically, Elijah couldn't grant that request. Said, this is, if you see me, it'll be granted. If you don't see me when I'm taken, it won't be granted. It came to pass, as they stood still, as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and the horses of fire parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Then he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he said, and when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And Elijah said, you shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. Elisha said, just go ahead. They just kept pestering and pestering and pestering. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they had come again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, to Elisha, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? So that's where we'll stop. We'll stop there. So again, this will talk a little bit about Elijah and Elisha, and just a few thoughts. Elijah, what that means in the Hebrew is Jehovah is my God. Elisha, what that means is God is salvation. And I think what we have here, and I didn't really see this very clearly, but as I looked at it and was reading what some other folks said, I tend to agree that this is a picture. Elijah is a picture of Christ, and Elisha is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Back in our passage in 1 Kings chapter 19, I'll put this down here. First Kings chapter 19 and the latter part of verse 16. And the Lord God told Elijah to go to Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and thou shalt anoint him to be prophet in thy room. He's going to be prophet in your room, in your place. Now, when Christ was taken from the disciples, what did he say? He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is going to be with here. And what is he going to do? What is he going to do? Very, very uniquely how it's worded in the Old Testament. But Christ said, he will show you the things concerning me. And when the mantle, which fell to the ground, he took Elisha, the student, took that mantle, and they said, he's taking the place of Elijah. He's taking the place of Elijah. Now, I do like, and I don't know how you think about this, but we'll turn to John chapter 14. Turn to John chapter 14. The wording is here is pretty interesting. And Tim James makes a comment. He calls the Holy Spirit our Lord's other self. He calls the Holy Spirit the Lord's other self. Now, these are two separate persons in the Trinity. There's no question about that. But the three are one. But look at John chapter 14 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And I will pray the Father. This is Christ speaking to his disciples. And he shall give you another comforter. I'm a comforter, but he's going to give you another one. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then Christ says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Elijah is the picture of Christ. Elisha, picture of the Holy Spirit. The two are one. I will not leave thee. And Christ, it says of Christ that he had a spirit without measure in the scriptures. And as I said, there are two separate persons in the Trinity. But then we have Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha ascends and Elisha is left behind. Christ ascends. He sends the Holy Spirit to make known to his people only himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit reveals the word to us, that which concerns Christ. So, and what I think is beautiful in our 2 Kings is every time Elisha said, I'm going, you stay here, he said, nope, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Like the paraclete, I'm going with you. And then he says, these three times, and he says, I'm going with you. And then the request of Elisha. He says in 2 Kings chapter 2, he says, what would you have that I do? I want a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, he's basically saying it's not up to me. And this hard thing that Elisha is asking, it's a hard thing to dictate where the Holy Spirit will, who it will light upon, who it will reveal, you know, who he will reveal it to. To receive the Holy Spirit is only given by God, not the works of man. So even in this, now we're kind of getting away from the type, but he asked this difficult thing. And he says, it's not mine to give. I really can't give it to you. So to receive the Holy Spirit, the wind blows where it wants to. We just preach the gospel, which we'll see that in here as well. We just preach the truth. But God, only he, as in this situation, only he can give the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God must bestow it to whomsoever he will. I look at verse 13 of our text in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 13. He took up also the mantle of Elisha and that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And Elisha saw what happened. He says, verse 12, my father, the chariot of Israel, he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. The Holy Spirit takes the mantle, as it were, of Christ and continues the work of glorifying God. Christ says, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. It's as though the Holy Spirit, in this situation, Elisha, is going to take up the mantle of Christ and continue to glorify the Redeemer, continue to glorify God. Now, let's look into the miracle. What is the miracle? Well, verse 13, took up the mantle that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So this is the parting of Jordan. This is the first miracle that we'll look at with the story of Elisha. This could represent how hard it is to conquer sinners, lost and hard hearts. He walks up to the Jordan. He's like, this is not going to be something to be done by my works or by my will or by my worth. Neither is the gospel. We just proclaim the gospel. It's God that will add the increase. It's God that will divide the seas. With men, this is impossible. With God, through the foolishness of preaching, all things are possible. We don't speak for show or for money or for man's praise or applause. We see the utter impossibility of dividing this Jordan, or as it were, sinners muddied through their own depravity and sin, sinners by our actions. God must split open, as it were, the heart. God must show how muddy and filth we are, and if he is pleased to divide it, he does so by his own sovereign prerogative. He came there, he had that mantle, which was a cloak is what I looked up. It's a cloak. And he said, where's the God? He petitioned God, the God of Elisha. And he's preaching the same thing as Elijah. He's aligning himself with what he's saying. I'm the same as the Holy Spirit, which is in the same position as the God the Son. However, in this example, this illustration, as the preacher of the gospel, he said, I'm saying the same thing that was preached to me, how I heard the truth. And so therefore I say the same thing. So he takes up this mantle of Elisha and he goes by the Jordan and he parts the water. Now, the second thing, the believer is shown here to be fearless and resolute. Okay, I don't know if he could swim. Apparently there was no boats. I have no idea. Anyway, in order to get to the other side where the 50 men or the prophets were watching all this, he had to cross over the Jordan. So we see the man of God or believers, same, any of this could be applied therein. We are to be fearless and resolute. We walk up to this challenge and it's like, if we set the spies are sent out into Canaan and everybody comes back, but two, Caleb and Joshua, and they said, and they're, oh, we can't do it. There's giants and there's kings and it's a land of milk and honey, but it's just more than we can handle. That's because they're looking at it with their eyes. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able to take it. We can take them. And so this is kind of the mindset of those who, by God-given grace and faith, this is what we do. We just, whether it's at work or whether it's at home, whether it's a community, whether it's every time we gather together, whatever it may be, we have an impossible task in front of us, passing over Jordan. Whatever our task, whatever our trial, whatever our difficulty, we, by faith, go forward. I like what Jack Shanks says. He says, we don't stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We deal with it. We have to confront it. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Even our faith. We do not, and I know we have the flesh, I know we wrestle, I know we struggle, but God gives us grace to just simply walk by faith, not sight, sound, whatever. That's the second point. The third thing is we use, as Elisha did, we use all lawful means to preach the gospel. In this case, it was the mantle. He took the mantle, verse 14, that fell from Elisha to him, and then he smote the waters and they departed. They departed. That's verse 14 again. We use all lawful means to make sure the gospel is proclaimed. Now, we don't idolize his various means. We don't worship the preacher. We don't worship prayer or even the preaching. We just use his means as he prescribes and leave it there. Now, You say, well, we wouldn't do that. Well, I could have you turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Don't. But remember the serpent that Moses had built and Aaron had built? Okay, it has been a number of years since it had been used, and they were storing it. And then one of the kings, they were worshiping it. And he says, break it. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, you want to look at it, he says, break it. It's just, he calls it a piece of brass. But they were worshiping it. So we, as still in the flesh, we can take things that normally would glorify God and idolize them. We can put too much emphasis on one thing or the other. Oh, God did this because I prayed for it. No, if we pray according to His will, He hears us. So that's just something to be aware of. We use all lawful means to further the miracles of God, which would be the preaching of the gospel, to save sinners. Be praying for the Lord to save sinners in the midst of this city, this town, this county. Fourthly, look at verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets were to view at Jericho, they saw Elisha. They said, the spirit of Elisha does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, this is, you know, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, him and him alone, bowing our ground. There is another point here, and I'll just make a couple of references. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow me in so much as I follow Christ. So what these men were doing, were showing reverence for the gospel and the gospel preacher. Follow me in as much as I follow Christ. And then turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Show reverence to whom reverence is due. So every time the gospel is preached, and it doesn't really make a difference if I'm up here or not, the person who's up here behind this pulpit or Bible class or if we're in the next room and a fellowship meal and somebody starts speaking of the glory of Christ, give them your attention. Give them your respect. Give them your reverence. Because those who proclaim the gospel itself shouldn't be talked flippantly about. But I just thought that was a very interesting point to bring that out. And in closing, and we have verses 16 through 18. Now we've got faith versus sight here. So now these guys, he comes over and they respect him. They show respect for what he is, who he represents, the gospel that he's preaching, the miracles that he's shown. Verse 16, and they said unto him, behold, we've got 50 strong men. Like you got to be strong. And that's what men rely on. They rely on their strength. They rely on their youth, their age, anything but God. We've got 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, to seek thy master. They just saw what happened. They saw him taken up. His mantle came floating down. And Elisha grabbed it. They saw what happened. Peradventure, the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. That sounds like our gracious Lord, doesn't it? He'll go up about 10,000 feet and just drop him. No. But they all they had was their strong men. And it looked like they were doing a good deed. Oh, we're going to find a prophet. And what did Elisha say? You shall not send him. And usually what happens when people are walking in the flesh and not by faith or by sight, they keep on, and then the person who's walking by faith, it's a shame because it's like, well, you just respected me, you respected my message, you respected the gospel, and now you're acting completely opposite. Opposite. They shamed him. So he was ashamed, and he said, go ahead and send. They sent, therefore, 50 men, and they sought 3 days. They didn't find them. The last thing Elisha said is, did I not say unto you, go not, or I told you so, whatever, you know, however you want to phrase it. So here's the thing. This is faith versus sight. The flesh or walking by sight, whatever we can see or whatever we think we feel will surely produce nothing of value. As Tim James said, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to be, oh, this might happen, and this might happen. And I got something in the bulletin. I got a quote. We would spend way too much time worrying about what if, instead of what is. Christ is risen. He's on the right hand of God. But he can't take care of this little thing and that little thing. We spend way too much time, and that's walking by sight. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. You know, you've heard that before. You know, stop worrying. It's a waste of your time and a waste of mine. It is. But we do. We have to keep on being encouraged to come back to Christ and to walk by sight. But we do walk by faith instead of by sight, knowing God has wrought a good work by grace, and you move on. And this is what Elisha's doing. He saw everything. He was with his mentor. He loved his mentor. Matter of fact, he wept when in verse 12, when he saw him no more, he took his hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. He wept and mourned. When we lose loved ones, we do that. That's part of human nature. But what does the grace of God do? The grace of God stands up, takes the mantle, and goes forth knowing that every single thing is wrought by God. And it's for the believer's good. Every single thing. So we go forward. We walk. We move on. We move on. This is what we do because he's redeemed us. We do have the flesh. We do walk by sight a lot. But we walk by faith. And that's encouraging. Don't do it. Do not send these folks. Okay, you just keep on. Go ahead. They couldn't find him. And he said, I told you. Did I not say unto you, go not? And that's the end of it. That's the end of it. Water under the bridge. Let us go forth bearing the Lord's reproach. Let us go forth bearing his mantle. Let us here go at this place go forth with the gospel of God's grace. How can they hear? Except David, the preacher. How can they hear? You see somebody in the grocery store, under a mask or without a mask, tell them of the free grace of God. They don't understand what's going on, but the believer does. The believer does. Only believe. Yes, only believe. Now, the next miracle is he heals the waters at Jericho. And it's odd how he does it. But these same men, they're like, okay, we should have believed you. And then they come in and then they're going to ask him, we've got a problem. And the Lord God, through his prophet, takes care of another situation. But that'll be for next week maybe. So anyway, may the Lord honor the opening of his word, the reading of his word, and singing of hymns. Nathan, would you close us?